This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast. Thrilled today to visit with Partnered RSM, the sort of the best name in the private equity, sort of due diligence world, sell side world, middle market world, RSM. Rick Hess is a partner there, brilliant. He joins us regularly. He talks to us regularly about what trends he's watching in this sort of private equity business, deal flow, and more. Rick, it's sort of a very antsy week in the markets. The stock market's moving in the wrong direction. Concerns about growth in China, concerns about the U.S. credit rating, concerns about regional and mid-sized banks' credit situations. What does this mean for the private equity community? Does it put a bit of a drag on activity, or what do you see out there?
Yeah, you know, some of that's a little hard to tell, you know, given how recent it is to see, you know, what it's going to do from a deal flow perspective. You know, I don't think we've seen anything immediate change in terms of deals that we were kind of working through in the pipeline and, you know, expecting to come in. You know, what I'm, you know, kind of more focused on is, you know, really, you know, the macroeconomic indicators, whether it be interest rates, inflation, jobs, things of that nature. And, you know, the interesting thing that I think we kind of have been following over the last week or so, and it's been getting a lot of traction kind of with media outlets is our economist's perspective around jobs and how, you know, you could potentially fix some of the jobs problem that we have and, you know, the fact that we just have a general lack of supply of people that can fill jobs that are open today. And I think one of the things his perspectives was that he shared was, you know, the access and affordability of childcare and really pushing kind of perspectives around that area. And, you know, at first I kind of looked at it and thought, well, it's a great idea. I'm not sure how, you know, how much legs this has, but, you know, over the last 2 days, it got picked up by a few different media outlets, major media outlets that is. And, you know, it seems to be getting a lot of attention from folks just because, you know, obviously, you know, one of our biggest problems in terms of being able to grow our economy is getting, you know, the jobs that are necessary to kind of fuel the growth filled. You know, many of the sectors that we follow across all economic sectors, and, you know, as you know, I follow healthcare the closest, and, you know, healthcare is definitely in need of people coming to work. And, you know, if we could find a way to solve the problem through childcare, not only the affordability, but really the access to both are issues in that particular sector of the economy. So I think that's probably the area that I think we've, you know, been most focused on in the last week is really kind of thinking through how, you know, if we were able to, as a society, you know, really increase access and affordability of childcare, could we find more and more people to come back to work? And then could that, you know, really be able to be kind of the fuel necessary for growth?
Right. So it's a fascinating story is whether that would open up the workforce some more and bring more people back to work. Can we fix childcare and there's enough employees to fix childcare or places where you'll take kids for childcare, you know, or what does that look like? And it's so hard to ultimately judge what it looks like. You know, and you know, one of the things that's fascinating with the latest unemployment report, it showed less jobs created, but still wage inflation. And so it's very hard to assess where the Fed sees all these things because less jobs created leads you to believe the Fed's closer to taking a pause in rate hikes, but wage inflation leads you the other way, that there's still, you know, inflation to be fought in a serious way. And then you've got sort of the Chinese economy decelerating and some other sort of seeming like big problems on the horizon, such as commercial real estate and other things. So at some point, Fed watchers, everybody watches the Fed so closely because if interest rates are so high, it makes margins so hard for debt finance, private equity driven businesses and trying to read the tea leaves. And as you just said it really well, look, I can't read the tea leaves that quickly on all this activity, but it really all leads back to when the Fed stops raising rates, leverage in banking and private equity becomes a lot easier to perform on because you have a better sense of what cash flows are really going to look like, particularly if heavily debt financed, which most things are. But it really is hard to read the tea leaves, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think you're spot on, Scott, that, you know, between wage inflation and other macroeconomic activity, you know, that all comes back to what the Fed does. And you know, as you mentioned, you know, the Fed's decision on interest rates is driving a lot of what happens in the deal flow environment. And, you know, that I think is why we spend so much time kind of analyzing things like jobs and what that is doing and wages and, you know, other issues. So, I mean, I think you're spot on that, you know, if we can find a way to, you know, kind of curtail some of that wage inflation, that's probably only a good thing from a deal flow perspective.
So it's a huge impact. I mean, that's if you can get more people back into the workforce, you know, and it is really challenging to figure out how productivity is affected by remoteness versus not remoteness. All these kinds of issues have become really big factors, and they're very hard to assess because everybody's got a feel for, we'd like people more back in the workforce and more in person. At the same time, people don't want to give the freedom up in their lives of the balance they have when they could work remotely. So I don't know if it's ever going back, it's going back to hybrid or what it'll look like, but it's really challenging to read the tea leaves on how many hours of people we need for all these jobs. I mean, it's really hard to sort of figure out.
It is. Yeah. No, that's why we're pleased to have the economists that we have. They're really sharp folks, have great ideas and great insights. And, you know, we lean on them a lot to be able to kind of bring perspective to our clients and the, you know, folks like you to kind of give a feel for what we're seeing and what we think might have an impact.
Right, because if you can improve childcare opportunities, you can move the needle a little bit on getting people back to work and keep on taking the total unemployment down, or maybe not down, but take wage inflation down. As you get more people back in the workforce, you get a little bit more of an equilibrium between supply and demand, and that's why the smart economists at RSM study those kinds of things.
Exactly. You hit the nail right on the head, Scott.
That's fascinating. So interesting how this issue of child care and people in and out of the workplace can have a huge impact on wage inflation and a huge impact on what the Fed does. And at the end of the day, we've become in this crazy macro way so reliant on the Fed's activities because it just has a huge impact on cash flow. If, you know, if people are borrowing at 12% versus 6 or 7%, it has a huge impact on the affordability of deals and the ability to gamble and take risks and double down on deals. What a fascinating perspective. Rick, as always, I love getting a chance to visit with you. We'll get this out right away. Thank you for joining us on the Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate being on.